Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to call Senate State Affairs Committee to order. Today is Thursday, April 28, 2022. Let the record reflect the time is 3:30. Actually, it's not 3:35 p.m. Today, we have President Vice Chair Senator Ramble, Senator Holland, Senator Kawasaki, myself, Chair Shower. Please silence your cell phones. It's going to be a short meeting today. Staff assisting us in the rest of my office. Carrie from Records, Nate from the LAO. We did have three bills on the agenda. It was Senate Bill 167, an act relating to elections. However, the governor's office have decided they're not doing anything with that at the moment, so we did have a plan for that to come in with the briefing, but we were informed they're not going to do that, so that one's off the docket today. We also had Senate Bill 126 on the docket, and we were going to discuss amendments for that, but the bill sponsor has said they're not really doing anything with that one either at the time, so I think both of them kind of fallen off in the last minute. Senate Bill 195, we are going to bring up those. Senator Keel, if you come up to the table, act relating to compensation of certain public officials, officers, employees not covered by collective bargaining agreements and providing for an effective date. That will be the only bill on today's probably very short meeting. Senator Keel, go ahead if you put stuff on the record again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jesse Keel. I have the privilege of representing Senate District Q. I'm joined by Kathy Schlinghide of my staff.
All right. And I'll just open it up to the committee members. We've seen this now, or seen this bill a few times, so if there's any questions or comments, we'll open it up. Senator Holland.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to thank Senator Keel for bringing this bill to the committee, and I appreciate the ability to have an extra day or two to look over it, but I'm comfortable with the bill at this time.
Okay, thank you. And Senator Ramble, I think you had a mic up.
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So basically, I just want some clarification. So right now, because of the GGU and the union contracts, this bill basically tries to get the exempt employees to match what the union contract negotiations have been. Is that correct? And then I've got a couple follow-ups.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In answer to Senator Reinbold's question, this brings the non-union employees up to where the general government union contract was fully implemented in 2015.
Okay. Through the chair. Thank you. So my understanding is, from what I've seen so far, I've seen very little, but what I've seen in the GGU and talking to legislative finance today, they have negotiated, I believe it's a 2.5% COLA, a 3% COLA, and then the following year, I believe, is a 5% COLA. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, to answer Senator Reinbold, I believe that is the contract terms that are before the legislature for approval. This bill does not encompass those. This bill only catches up to the last set of GGU raises, which, again, were fully implemented approximately 7 years ago.
Through the chair.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so thank you. So so would this make anything retroactive, or is it just go from this point forward?
Mr. Chairman, let me make sure my staff gives an accurate answer to that rather than me trying to remember it.
For the record, Kathy Schlinghide, staff to Senator Keel. Mr. Chair, in answer to Senator Reinbold's question, it is not retroactive. It would just be going forward.
I think one.
Yeah, that's fine. No.
Okay. Okay. So they get their step increases, is my understanding, every other year now because of what Sarah Palin did, and they've got the merit increases, and now this would be additional raises. Is that the cost of living? Do I have this accurate? And then once you answer that, then what the annual rough estimate is in total for what this the fiscal note on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To answer Senator Reinbold's question, this adjusts the salary schedule as a whole, and the effect that has is that a person who is entering into one of these jobs as a brand new employee would make, at full implementation, 5% more than someone who entered into one of those jobs as a brand new employee last year. So you, by adjusting the entire schedule, it basically keeps up with what inflation was several years ago, which of course does not account for inflation today. Mr. Chairman, Senator Reinbold also asked about the full implementation cost. This bill phases in the catch-up over 2 years, as my staff mentioned. And so the first year would cost approximately $8.8 million. The second year would add an additional, first year 8.6. The second year would add an additional 8.8. And then those amounts would be in the base budget going forward.
Okay.
Okay, can I have one more question?
Ask him to your left.
The GeoDiff. I remember this bill from back in 2015, and I believe it was Munoz that carried it. So what my question is the GeoDiff information still in there? Because I think HUNA got 5% and Juno got 0 or vice versa. I was trying to remember the GeoDiff. Is the GeoDiff address at all anywhere?
Mr. Chairman, to answer Senator Reinbold, this bill makes no changes to the geographic differentials that we have in our pay scales. It neither increases them nor exempts this from them. They apply just as they have for many years. Leaves that effect steady.
You go to them. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So what we did in 2015, I shouldn't say we because I voted no, but the bottom line is the GeoDiffs were in there, and they were pretty dramatic. They were significant, the GeoDiffs. So what you're talking about in this bill, this just reflects what happened in 2015. Is that correct?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In answer to Senator Reinbold, yes, those remain on the books. The bill does not change them. And the numbers, when the senator asked about cost, that includes the cost of any adjustments, including geographic differential.
One more, I'm sorry.
Oh, I told you, keep going.
I'm sorry. Okay, can you remind me, did Juno get a GeoDiff?
I think they
got 5%.
Mr. Chairman, my recollection is that what Senator Reinbold just said is correct, that the geographic differential for Juno is 5%.
And then when you're ready for closing comments.
Okay. Senator Kawasaki's up.
Just a couple questions. Do you know what, since this catches up employees who are in exempt services up to 2015, do you know what the sort of overall inflation has adjusted over the last 7 years or since that GGU contract went in place in 2015?
Mr. Chairman, to answer Senator Kawasaki, I don't have that number at hand. It does exceed what we're catching up with was, again, at full implementation in 2015. So really what you're looking at is the 2013 number when you look at that. And when you compound inflation from 2013 to 2022, it does exceed the 5%.
And then just a couple other questions. This, I think it was in an earlier hearing that this would impact roughly 2,400 employees. Is that still the case?
Mr. Chairman, that number is unchanged. We have that analysis from the Office of Management and Budget.
And then final question on Section 6 of the bill, it relates to the University of Alaska employees who are in exempt service and are not part of a collective bargaining unit. Do the university would still have to make some sort of action for this to occur? Is that correct?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In our effort to apply this to all the existing laws we have, we included this language. The University of Alaska got in touch with us. They have zero employees to whom this would apply. Everyone is on a different type of pay schedule set by the university. So the language is there, but it actually doesn't end up affecting any employees.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Sir Hall, any more questions? Okay, then we're going to go to closing, and I know Senator Ramble had some comments.
Mr. Chairman, I actually have one more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so is GeoDiff and COLA two different pay scales, like if there's a GeoDiff in on top of a cost of living?
Mr. Chairman, to Senator Reinbold, my understanding is that the only thing that is officially titled a cost of living adjustment occurs in the pension system. There is a very different dynamic within the ferry system called a cost of living differential that has to do with whether employees live in or out of state. And, of course, this bill doesn't affect that up, down, or sideways because all of those employees are in a union. They have a contract. This bill does not touch them. So what we look at, sometimes people call adjustments like this to the salary schedule a cost of living adjustment. But I don't believe that that is a term in the statutes that applies. Let me look to my staff and make sure I haven't misspoken.
Mr. Chair, I believe that's correct.
Yeah, just a closing comment. Yeah, wrap up. Yeah, where my concerns are is somebody recently told me there's 75,000 job losses in the state of Alaska, and I don't know of any bureaucrats that have lost their jobs, you know, from the municipality level to the school district level to the state level, et cetera. So just in general, there's a lot of hurting people suffering, the private sector, and we've got to be cognizant of it because the private sector pays for everything for big government. And so where my concern is there, if there's geo-diff, cost of living, merit, step, you know, all these vacation times and all this, it's just the optics at this time are difficult for me to swallow something like this. You know, in regards to this, I'm not going to object to moving the bill out of committee, but I will tell you that I do believe it needs to be significantly amended. And I think that at some point in time, we've got to address the suffering in the public sector, and just using lawyers is not a good example at all. If you look at a tremendous amount of businesses that have lost their business, they've lost their, they're moving out. They're just moving out. I mean, in some places it looks like a ghost town, and it's just hard to just understand how it's so easy when once you get in this building to just forget about all those people and just think about just the people that are on the state budget. And I think it's blindsided. I really do, because in the long term, what is this going to be doing, you know, to the long term of the state of Alaska? And I think it's just not the best timing. And with that, I hope with the permanent fund dividend and everything, that's something that you can consider with the private sector, and maybe helping some of the small businesses, get in a better place, and our kids get, you know, more into education and opportunities. I don't care if they're apprenticeships or whatever, but it's just something I would like the Juneau people in particular to please don't forget about the private sector. We don't have the benefit of a whole lot of cruise ships coming and the amount of tourists and things often the places don't. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I just want to say that this is a very, very expensive, very, it's a big step. And it's not that I want the non-unions to, that's why I'm not going to object, because I don't want the union people, you know, to be a step ahead. I understand that. So I'm not going to object to moving the bill out, but I appreciate being able to put some comments on the table. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Sarah, if you'd like to respond first, I'll have a couple closing comments as well.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Senator Reinbold is correct about the difficulties facing Alaskans in the private sector and in private business. And I look forward to more opportunities to work together on ways we can help. I think back, you know, during the pandemic, our body put significantly more of that relief money into small business grants to try and keep Alaskan businesses' doors open than we ended up getting at the end of the process, right? But we worked together to try and extend as much help as we could. And so I don't disagree with the fundamental premise of Senator Reinbold's remarks, and I appreciate the committee's work on this piece as well as our work for the private sector.
All right, thanks, Senator Keel. I have to actually echo Senator Reinbold's comments. I don't disagree. You know, this is expensive, and recruiting and retaining people is important, and it is expensive as well, and we have to pay for that, so I get it. The time is tough. We're coming out of a pandemic because there are an awful lot of people that have lost their jobs, and the private sector certainly has not recovered. So, but you know what? That's why we have a finance committee. They're the ones to reconcile this and decide whether they'll hear it and whether or not it works, and they can make those adjustments. We're looking at it from a policy perspective, so I'm going to send it on and go ahead and move that to finance and let them make that call. They may ultimately decide it doesn't work in this day and time and have to try again later, so we'll see how that goes. That being said, any final comments from committee members? Okay, and had the wrong one because of what we were thinking. So, Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion for the will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move that SB 195 version 32 LS 1367 version A with attached fiscal notes, individual recommendations, and accompanying documents be moved out of Senate State Affairs and onto the next committee of referral.
Thank you. Does anybody object to moving the bill out of committee? All right, seeing and hearing none, Senate Bill 195 passed from committee. We're going to take a brief of these and do paperwork.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee.
Thank you. State Affairs back on the record. Next, that concludes our business for today. Next meeting is going to be Tuesday, May 3rd, 2022 at 3:30 p.m. back in this room. Seeing no other business for the committee, we're going to adjourn at 3:50.